The book of Isaiah, chapter 53. We've just sung about him, and you've just demonstrated for him. But the prophet said in Isaiah 53 in verse 1, "Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him." I suppose that's a disappointing statement for some. It goes on to say, "He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." At the end of that particular chapter, in verse 12, it says, "Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors." I simply want to entitle this today, "He was a dirty man." Would you lift your hands, your voices, and your hearts? And would you pray sincerely for just a moment in time today? Lord Jesus, this morning, we have read from the words of the prophet who painted a purported word picture of you. Will your Lord today look within the recesses of our own souls? We escape there and lift our eyes unto the hills from whence cometh our help. We, O Lord, this morning are asking that you will touch our minds to see, our spiritual eyes to see. Help us to understand the simplicity of your greatness. Help us to understand the great concept of this Redeemer of mankind. Anoint our ears, our hearts, our minds to receive, to comprehend, to understand. O Master of the universe, this morning, let your sweet velvety touch flow over us. We will not fail to give you praise, glory, and honor, for thou art matchless. There is none like unto thee, neither in heaven nor in earth. To thee, O Holy Father, we give you praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. The Lord bless you. You may be seated. Thank you for standing so long. Would you clap your hands for the Lord this morning? Would you worship him by lifting your voice? As a child, I was enamored with a cousin of mine who was a tremendous artist. He did fantastic pencil drawings, and I wanted to draw like he drew. So as a child, I began on this venture, and evidently there was some natural talent inside of me. So as a child, I drew many, many pencil sketches. Still have some of them in my files at home. I looked at them not long ago. As a child, my hero was Tarzan. So I did a lot of pencil drawings of him and heads of lions, etc. That somehow stayed with me. And when I grew up, I wanted to be a commercial artist. And I was in that endeavor when Jesus found me. But it is sufficient to say that I know something about that business. And I have seen a lot of portraits painted of this man called Jesus. I have been to Vatican City. I've been to St. Peter's Basilica. I've seen the so-called magnificent works of art that are displayed there. I've been to various museums. I've been to Israel. I have looked at the various representations of man, of what they felt this Jesus looked like. And to be quite frank with you this morning, I have never seen any of them that I really liked. Because none of them that have been painted that I have seen really look like the way I feel from Bible authority he really was. And many of the concepts of Jesus were painted by artists from the Renaissance period. In fact, I'm not trying to offend you this morning, but I despise Renaissance art. I hate it. I think it's the ugliest stuff in existence because it's not in touch with reality. And I'm a realist. I hate abstract art. I don't like modern art. To me, it's a representation of the mental state of the community. That's how I feel about it. If I look at a tree, I want to know it's a tree, etc. So many of the concepts of Jesus were painted by perverted artists who portrayed him as a weak, effeminate individual. But he was not like that at all. I found one concept of Jesus in a Christian bookstore years and years ago when I first got out of Bible college in 1968. I walked into a Christian bookstore and here, unframed, was a portrait of Jesus on an easel at the entrance to this bookstore, and he had short hair, as short as mine. More on top. And immediately, I fell in love with that portrait, and I out loud exclaimed, "I like it." And the woman behind the counter said, "You like it?" And I said, "Yes." She said, "Most people don't." I said, "I do. How much is it?" She said, "It's just a print. It's on sale for $3.50. I said, "I'll take it." I took it, and I kept it for years, stored, because I had no place to live. I was just evangelizing and lived out of a suitcase. But eventually, when I got to a place where I could settle down, I pulled out that print. It's a 16 by 20. And I took my own brush oils and my brush paints, and I totally resurfaced that paper finish with living oil. I changed the background, did not change him. And it's framed, it hangs in my home today, in my office, in my home. It's probably one of the best representations of him I've ever seen because it looks like what I think he may have looked like. There's something in the eyes of this portrait, and he looks like a rugged individual. He was not like what the artists portray him to be from church history. He was not like that at all. Jesus was every bit a man. He grew up in a carpenter shop. He had rugged hands. He would have been bronzed by the sun. I picture him as a dirty man. Dirty from lying on the ground to sleep. Dirty from the dust of the road. Sweaty from the heat of the sun. He had dirty men around him. He did not need soft raiment to make him strong. I've been to Israel 10 times. I've taken great note of the people who live there, the natives in the land, how they live, how some of them eke out an existence. They're not as manicured as we are here this morning. They don't have access to it. They are people of the earth. They live from the land. the shepherds, the sheep, the Bedouins, even Abraham, they lived in tents. The floors of their homes were the soil of the earth. Jesus came into a culture like that, where they ate with their fingers out of a communal pot, drank from the same cup. He was not like artists portray him to be. I've seen paintings of him in long, white, soft, flowing robes, trimmed with gold braid. He didn't wear clothes like that. He wasn't like that. Oh, the paintings can be inspiring, perhaps not anointed, but inspiring. But he was not like that. Amidst all the dirt and sweat, he had a dignity and authority, a strength that commanded respect. Jesus said, go tell that fox, go tell him. He spoke of the king fearlessly because he was strong. He covered all the ground he stood on. He needed nothing to make him strong. He was born in a stable. He had a cow trough for a cradle. But there wasn't a thing he needed or lacked. There was straw under him, heat from the stable's animals, a mother's breast to feed him, and swaddling clothes to cover him. The rich may have had more in quantity, but not more of their needs met. Centurion respected Jesus' authority and sought his help. There were those who came to Jesus and said, "Never man spake as this man. From whence did he get this power? Who is he that can command the elements and the elements obey him?" There was no beauty about him that they desired him when they looked upon him. They could have passed him by on the street and never even taken note of him. But there was something about his voice when he spoke. Something emanated from this man. And it reduced them to ashes and to tears. And they reached out for his words of life. Even the blind that could not see him, they were not even known that he was not attractive or handsome. There was something about his presence, something about the sound of his voice that caused them to cry out in recognition and beg to be brought into his close proximity. Even the blind sensed it, something about him that they could not feel about other people. Men. Jesus was a rugged individual. He covered all the ground he walked on, I reiterate. He was not like they have portrayed him in art. He was totally different than that. There was a ruggedness about him. There was an authority that covered him. And even the elements acquiesced to his presence. The surface of the sea would not swallow him, but supported him. In his death, the elements refused to watch, and the sun hid her face, and the earth groaned with the only voice it has, earthquakes, the rending of rocks at his death, until even a poor heathen, paganistic Roman soldier cried out and said, "Surely this man in the center, the one in the center, surely he was the Son of God." Incredible, incredible, beaten beyond recognition. But when he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do," he touched the heart of a pagan, and he cried out. Niagara Falls is strong. It was created strong. The sun is strong. It was created strong. It has great strength, powerful. Some things are just made strong. They are created in strength. Man is unique in that man has a will. He can be weak or he can be strong. It is totally in his hands. A brave man is not necessarily a man who knows no fear. A brave man is brave in the midst of fear. And man has the power to be weak or strong. For example, sometimes we battle. And sometimes we fall into the hell of our own making. And we have no one really to blame but ourselves. But there are times when you practice, when you initiate strength, when you demonstrate strength, when you manifest it, there are times when you are exhausted with the pressure and the load. And there's not a soul here today that at one time or another has not reached the place in all of this where you have simply wanted to retire to the backside of a desert, to close the door and to blot out forever the weariness and the pressure and the voices that come in upon us. There are times when I've wanted to push the eject button and just be ejected out of here. Earlier this year, I said, Jesus, just stop this world and let me step off. I came home from one particular trip, walked in my house, threw my hands in the air, and I said, Jesus, it looks to me like there's no one left but you and me. And I laughed. I think he laughed. Sometimes you get to the point where you feel you cannot go one step farther. You feel like there's nothing in you that can go another step farther. Your body is aching. Weariness is covered you over. Your limbs are aching. Sickness or disease has gripped a hold of you. And you feel like you cannot pull yourself out of the chair. God does not count strength the way we count strength. We count strength by how much you can bench press, by how large the biceps are, etc. God does not count strength like that. We count strength like that and pride ourselves in it. But when you've gone as far as you can go, and there's something in your body, in your soul that says, don't go to church tonight. Just stay home. Lay back in this chair. Pull the covers up. You're too exhausted. You can't make it. When your body, and it has a voice, when it says to you, you can't go, you can't make it. And yet, in your feebleness, you reach for the arm of the chair and you pull yourself up. And somehow you stand and you begin to walk toward the house of God. When you take that first step, God steps on the scene and he smiles and says, child, that's strength. When you go, when you feel you cannot go, suddenly his strength becomes your strength. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. I quoted it about 10 times sitting right over there this morning. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They that entangle themselves with God shall exchange their weakness for his strength. And in this house this morning, there are those that want to entangle themselves around him. They want to wait upon him. They want to wrap themselves around him like a vine. And in so doing, suddenly your weariness will take wing, and suddenly his strength will flow over you, and suddenly you feel like you can go on. How many of us have come to the house of God needing to be practically carried in? But by the time the service was over, we were dancing in the aisles, we were running around the building, we were laughing, speaking with tongues, falling out, dancing with all of our might, because it is written, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. This is the rest wherewith the weary are rested. This is the refreshing. This is the refreshing. It's in this house this morning. Would you clap your hands? Would you lift your voice? Would you praise him for just a moment? Ha! Hallelujah. What I'm saying is this. There are some very strong people here today. They may not look it, but they have great strength. There are people here today that may not look like they are able to do what they do, but God counts them as men and women of tremendous strength. How many are missing from this congregation this morning that can walk, are very capable of walking, and have strength in their limbs, but for one reason or another, they're not here today? But there are others who made tremendous effort in wheelchairs and whatever to get to the house of God. Strength. God does not count strength the way we count strength. He counts strength by that something inside of us that says, I can make it, and I will do it, and I will go, and I will pull myself up. There are people here today that I feel the devil has told some of you, you can't make it. You won't make it. The fight is too big. The battle is too great. But there's something inside of you that says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. There are people here today who fit that category. I can tell you, I pulled a man out of a wheelchair one time. He walked by the miraculous power of God. God healed him as he was standing before he finally seated. I said, don't you want to be seated? You must be exhausted. You've not walked in months and months. He said, no, Brother Stone King. He said, it's been so long since I've been able to stand. He said, let me stand. And we supported him because the muscles in his legs had become atrophied. He stood there. He walked by the power of God out of that wheelchair as we dragged him out. Think what you like. I couldn't care less. But he turned his face to me and he said, I don't know where he learned this, because he had not been converted before that night. He said, Brother Stone King, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And I never forgot it. I said, if he can say it, I can say it. If he can believe it, I can believe it. If he can claim it, I can claim it. No matter what happens, greater is he that is within me than he that is in the world. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. What time I am afraid, I will trust in the Lord. What time I am afraid, I will trust in the Lord. For he is the succor of my soul. He is the one that will deliver us. He is the one whose voice I must hear. And if I hear his voice, all else becomes nonsense and foolishness to me. But to hear the voice of the Lord is the greatest single experience of an inhuman lifetime. It is the greatest single experience of an entire lifetime. That's why you're here, and you're here, and you're here, and the rest of us are here today, because somewhere we heard his voice and we never were the same again and cannot be and will never be. Strength can become born out of weakness. Strength can become born out of weakness. It's as if Jesus is saying today, do you need things to make you strong, or am I enough? He had nothing. There was no beauty that when we should see him, we should desire him. He was not handsome. He was not attractive. He was average in every sense of the word. We don't need things to make us strong. We need Jesus only. Lift your hands. Lift your voices. And say, Jesus, however softly, however loud you want to say his name, but say it. Jesus, I love to say his name because one day he said mine. One day he said my name, and I want to say his name. For the mention of his name is like rain falling softly. It's like clouds moving gently. It's like moonlight falling softly.
I am your strength and your power, saith the Lord. I give you strength when you begin to faint. I will give you hope when all things look dim. I am your God. Look unto me, and you shall be changed by my glory. For my strength and my glory is from my word. I am your God. I am your Savior. I am your Lord and I am your guide. Look to me and be ye saved. I am your strength and your power.
I believe it. I believe it. Lift your hands and your voices. Praise him for his strength that is becoming yours in this sanctuary today. Hallelujah, Jesus. In Jesus' name. And in closing today, let me introduce you to him as he really is. One day, the first church I pastored on Webster Street in Schenectady, New York, 68, 69, and 70, I did a lot of door-to-door work. Our church was located, just a small white wood frame building, located in an average neighborhood, and over the hill, there was a very bad area. It was to that bad area that I chose to go one day to do personal evangelism. And I always wanted to go out knocking on doors, looking as good as I could. We all acted like that once. That's how it really is. And so I had a suit freshly taken from the wrapper of the dry cleaners. I had a fresh shirt. The collar was starched. It was a lovely autumn afternoon on Saturday. And my shoes were shined. I was walking through trash on the street, trying not to touch it. You know how that is? That's how we are. And I was walking along, and as I came down the street, if you want to call the street, there was this woman standing in the front of a tenement house, an old ramshackle place. And I felt in me to go to her and to talk with her about Jesus and invite her to church. So I always walked on the sidewalk. I never cut across a lawn when I was doing door-to-door work, because if there's someone behind the curtain in the house watching you walk across their grass and they feel you don't have the good sense to stay on the sidewalk, which they poured, you've destroyed your witness. It's already all over. So I always stayed on the sidewalk and then knocked on the doors. But there wasn't any sidewalk to her, and there really wasn't any grass. It was just dirt. The kids had played and dug holes in it. It was an obstacle course, really. It wasn't a lawn. And I made my way through the dust and the dirt and the rocks and McDonald's empty containers and whatever, and got to this woman. She was not clean. And I walked up to her and exposed my Bible even more, introduced myself to her, and she just sort of stared in my face. There was a glassy look in her eyes. And I began, in my way of doing things, to tell her who I was and what I was doing, and that our church was not far from them, and that we would like them to come to our services. What I had not noticed was there was a little girl standing behind her mother. And this child was filthy dirty. She stepped out at the sound of my voice, and I saw her for the first time. And when she stepped out, I'll never forget the look in that child's eyes as she looked up into my face. And as I continued to talk, this child inched her way toward me. And I stole glances at her and then kept talking to the mother. There was something about the sound of my voice that this child was attracted to. It's called Holy Ghost. Children are sensitive to the Holy Ghost. That's why they cry and respond. That's why Jesus said, unless you come as a little child, you won't make it, adult. You won't make it. The child sensed the presence of the Holy Ghost in my life. As I continued to witness to this woman, the child let go of the mother's dress tail, and I looked at her. Her legs, little legs, were covered with mud, dirt. Her hair was matted. She obviously had been into peanut butter and jelly because there was a residue of both on her hands and her forearms. She was covered with this stuff. I don't know when she'd ever seen water or a bath. Suddenly, that child walked forward and she reached up to me with those sticky, dirty hands. And all I could see was the residue being left on this starched white collar. I had visions of being just encircled with stale jelly and peanut butter. And there was something in me that said no. And I took a step backwards to get away. But as I stepped backwards, the child stepped forward. I took one more step and I heard a voice. And the voice said, but you were like that one day. And you reached to me. And I did not walk away from you. And when I heard that voice, something squeezed my heart. I blinked back tears. I reached down with my arms. I pulled that child up. It happened exactly as I had envisioned it. The arms went around my neck. I could feel the stickiness on my skin. That child buried her face in my shoulder. But I never felt more like Jesus than I did in those seconds, in those moments. The child had deformed hands. We got permission to bring that child to some of the saints. They gave her a bath, put perfume on her probably for the first time in her life, bought her a new dress. They brought her to church the next Sunday night. We baptized her in Jesus' name, and God gave that child the baptism of the Holy Ghost while a drunken mother stood and wept at something called goodness that comes from believers. He was a dirty man. He soiled himself with the likes of us. He came where we were, and it did not seem to trouble him. He walked into my darkness, into your darkness. We reached out with deformed hands, as it were. We reached out with arms that were covered and dripping with sin.
But when we reached for him, he stooped to us, and we have been caught up, never to be the same. There are hands reaching down for us this morning in this place. They're not particularly ugly, but they are scarred. There are gaping holes in these hands, and it is spelled love. Is there anyone here today? Is there anything in us that wants to reach up and clasp those hands that reach down for the likes of us? Someone is going to leave this place today strong, not weak. Maybe many someones. You're going to leave this place today not weak, but strong. Strength is born out of weakness. Guard hands reaching down for the likes of us. Would you lift your hands? There's a gentle, muffled weeping in this place today. As some of you remember when. You remember when. You remember how it was. 10 years ago. 5 years ago. 20 years ago. 40 years ago. Somewhere you reached up. And he reached down. Let your voice out. Don't be afraid. There's no one here but us and Jesus today. He came again for the likes of us. What a story. What an incredible story. Is there anyone here that would stand and by so doing say, Brother Stone King, I remember. I remember. Wonderful to remember. Wonderful to feel again, at least in part, what we felt the first time we ever walked into his presence. Go ahead and cry. It's all right. They who are forgiven much, love much. Oh, hallelujah. Sing it. Love him, I love him, because he first loved me. And purchased my salvation. Lift your hands and sing it again. I love him. Because he first loved me, and purchased my salvation.